So good morning, everyone. For those that didn't notice before, this is a different title from the one in the agenda. If you want to leave, feel free to do so now, because I'd hope that you can stay until the end if you want to follow this one. Again, my name is Pedro Lopes. I'm a program manager in the SQL Server product group. I'm focused on the relational engine, so that's enough. So let me start with a question. When was the last time any of you, show of hands, dealt with a query performance issue? That few, really? That's good. Okay, so the rest of you won't find this session so interesting. Let me just start with a few fundamentals so that we more or less have the same baseline in terms of lingo to carry on. A query usually slows down because it has, generically speaking, excessive resource consumption. That means either too much, whatever that means, CPU, I/O, memory, or a combination of all of them, because all the resources act in tandem with each other. It can be a result of poor indexing strategy, and that may be because even your workload has changed throughout time, in the sense that even your predicates changed, and therefore what used to be a good enough index design is no longer a good design. Or your data has grown in terms of sheer number of records, and that has slowed down the good use of your index design, if you will, and therefore using partitioning may be a good strategy to alleviate some query slowdown. Then it can be a consequence of block queries. So you'll have one query that, for one reason or the other, is just sitting there waiting for a resource that other query owns, other session owns. In rarer cases, it may have to do with incorrect server configurations. For example, you have a workload that is mainly ad hoc. It's not getting parameterized. You have a lot of new compilations that's taking a lot of your CPU. You can choose, for example, to force parameterization. That's a server setting, or a database setting, more precisely. And that can alleviate a number of query performance issues. So just to establish this like baseline. So how do I go about analyzing the performance of a slow-running query? These are some of the tools that we're going to use today. Showplan, well, if you were in my session yesterday, I kind of showed you some of the work we've done to Showplan to make it a one-stop shop for every information regarding query performance. So not only about the query itself, but about the context of execution there. Query Store, something we released in 2016, very useful for certain kind of scenarios, namely planned regressions. That's especially useful for that. The planned comparison tool, something we've an Easter egg back in October 2015, we released in SSMS, not making a lot of fuss about it. We've evolved, it's nowadays embedded into the experience of Query Store. You can use it standalone. And Brent showed it yesterday, so it's getting used, luckily, for some cases. Live Query Stats. And Live Query Stats kind of regain new value, if you will, with SQL Server 2016 SP1, and I'll show you why I say that. And last but not least, text events and more, because we have a few things that are brand new, and I want to show them to you. So here's and this is the last of the fundamentals that I'm spending here. What can we find in a query execution plan that can give us an information about why a query has slowed down in some part of the tree? We can see how the data is accessed, meaning what operator is being used to access data, seek, scan. How the data is joined, not only the type of join that's physically implemented, a nested loop, merge, hash, but also the order of the joins, which is very important because it has to do directly with the estimations coming from the optimizer. The use of work tables and sorts, for example, and that may have to do with spills, and that leads us down an entirely specific path about trying to optimize that. Looking at actual row counts, estimated row counts, comparing them both. So that's also found in the plan. Are we using parallelism? Or did we intend to use parallelism, but parallelism was not available at runtime? That may happen. So we have also that kind of information there. And finally, execution warnings. Some of them are available in the cache, so they are compile-time warnings. Most of them are runtime warnings, so it means that you need to capture the actual execution plan in order to see what kind of warnings you have there that are actionable, that you may do something about those. So here are some diagnostic and troubleshooting enhancements we've done in this space to make it easier to scope down a performance problem, which is someone calls me and says, I'm hurting, down to a place where I can say, okay, that's the query, and specifically that's the point of the query that is hurting me. So it's all about, like I kind of hinted yesterday, avoiding round trips to get a lot of information. Meaning, do I really need to use set statistics IO or set statistics time, or do I need to go to other DMVs to gather information about weights, whatever. We embarked on a road a few months ago to remove this friction of going to other sources to get information. So for example, we're nowadays showing active trace flags during compile time and also runtime. And that's available in 2014 SP2, that's available in 2016 SP1, and in the soon-to-be-released Service Pack 4, so the last Service Pack for SQL Server 2012. So you'll have a range of versions where you can leverage most of the information I'm going to show you today. Here in this case, we can see, for example, that we have three trace flags that were enabled at compile time, 2371, that has to do with statistics, 7412, I'm going to discuss that one today, and 9481. And from these trace flags, these two did not affect compilation. So that's what you see here, compile time false. So that leaves out what? 9481. Can anyone tell me what 9481 is? Yes, exactly. So 9481 forces legacy CE to be enabled at compile time. Therefore, it is a trace flag that will affect the shape of my plan. So it has the potential to change the performance of my query. Therefore, I now have the information right here instead of trying to catch it somewhere else. Looking at this, I know, hey, hang on, there's one aspect here that definitely impacted the way that SQL Server came up with this plan. So I need to be aware of that. Another piece of information that we've now put in the show plan itself is up to top 10 weights that the session that was running, whatever query that we captured, at runtime suffered from. So you can see here page IO latch, reserve memory allocation. Basically, you can go then to Books Online or Paul Randall's site. I know he has now a huge collection of the weight types and their meaning and some cases there. You can go and see what it means. And then it's actionable information. We've also added parameter data types. That's a very old Connect item that had like almost 200 votes. It's in certain kinds, so for example, if I'm looking at a plan of a store procedure, I can easily see what was the incoming parameter data type because it's right there. But for example, for prepared queries that I've sent with SP prepare and then I later re-executed based on a handle, I don't really have that information. So having the information about parameter data types is important, for example, to troubleshoot type conversion issues. I can see a warning that a data conversion has affected the ability of the plan to do a seek instead of a scan, where a seek, in this case, would be preferable. I'm seeing that I did an implicit conversion to nvarchar, but I don't know the incoming data type. So I need to go what? I need to go back to the database, look at my table, if I have the schema available, if I'm working at the server. Otherwise, I need to go again on another round trip to get that information. Well, not anymore. Now it's here. So I can see that, for example, if I was converting from an int to an nvarchar, well, that's one of the conversions that will affect the ability to do seek plans. So I would be aware of that immediately. More information, it has to do with the overall execution time of the query. So we're persisting the information about elapsed time and CPU time for the overall query. So we don't need really anymore to collect set statistics time, because we now have the CPU time overall for a query, as you can see here, and we have the elapsed time the entire query took. So that's again another piece of information we can use for some kind of comparative analysis. Something that's now available in 2017, and it's coming in the next, it will come in an upcoming release of for 2016, is statistics information that are now persisted in ShowPlan. So in this case, it starts to get very easy to gain actionable insights looking at estimations. For example, this is part of a query that it was not performing well enough, so to speak. And so I went into ShowPlan and I looked at the statistics that were available that were loaded by the optimizer when this plan was running through the optimizer. And I actually saw that, hey, this specific statistic here, it was using sampling 100%, full scan, good enough. But the modification count is huge. And I saw in another part of ShowPlan that the number of rows in this table was less than 5,000. So to have a modification count of 19,000 really means my statistic is stale. It's out of date, right? So next course of action, an actionable insight from this is, let me go and update statistics. And I updated statistics, and when the result was a plan that had good enough estimations. If you go to the Tiger Team blog, I have a blog post about this one where I show more details of how we got from the beginning to the end of this this small exercise. So this is available in SQL Server 2017. And this slide I used yesterday, but just to reinforce, we did a lot of work about bringing in runtime statistics to ShowPlan. Again, making it a one-stop shop for everything that you need to understand about what happened during execution. So up until 2016, we had actual rows, actual end of scans, and actual executions, nothing else. So I could actually see, by hovering over a scan, for example, I would see actual number of rows, 100. Well, it is what it is. It doesn't give me a lot of insight as to what that scan is actually doing. So in 2016 RTM and 2014 SP2, we added all this information about the IO and about time. So in this case, I have for each operator the elapsed time and CPU time plus a number of IO related information. So now I can go to the scope of each operator that does IO in this case, and I can see how many reads it did. Logical reads, physical reads, read aheads, and whatnot. So again, all the insight is coming directly from ShowPlan. I don't need to go somewhere else or collect data from some other view or some other source to get me this information. And in SQL Server 2016 SP1, we added three more properties to runtime counters per thread, which has to do with memory grants. So specifically, sorts and hash operations do need an input memory grant, and then the output memory grant may be different depending on whether it spills or not. So having this information and even knowing what memory was used by those operators is, again, important to detect some patterns of usage in our queries and then be able to do something about them. And like I showed yesterday, here's how you actually see that information. So statistics IO is no longer needed, because I have the information, in this case, in this scan, of how much IO it was done there. So I don't need to collect the extra information anymore. Question?
This is great stuff, and this is a lot of information, so we need to cache this information into plan cache, yes?
That's a very good question.
So what is the impact on percentage growth of the plan about this info?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for that. So the question is, are we adding all this information to the plan cache? No, we are not. Most of what we're seeing here is runtime. Now, some is not. For example, trace flags, that stays in the cache plan. Statistics, that stays in the cache plan. Now, we were aware that adding information in plans that stay in the cache, like these two I just mentioned, specifically statistics, because we can actually load a lot of statistics when we are optimizing, can be taxing and could lead to some growth, right? So what we've done actually in this version that we've introduced this is the XML in the cache is actually compressed now. So you may even find that your plan cache is now smaller than it was before, even though it has more information, okay? We actually had an issue just before we released where we actually saw a bug that older versions of Query Store so before this update, didn't recognize the compressed XML. So that's been fixed, so not anymore. But so because we were aware of that problem, so thank you for bringing that up. So setStatistics IO is not needed anymore, and we don't need setStatistics time anymore. So it's everything inside XML and everything that you see here in terms of IO and time is available in 2012, 2014, 2016, and obviously 2017. So that gives you a lot of insight as to what's happening per operator. This here, yes. Actually, let me confirm. This one specifically, I think it was in SP3. I need to confirm that. If it wasn't this specifically, if it was not on SP3, certainly it will be in SP4, because that's the closing service pack, and we're putting in everything we've done for versions after that that we can still plug into the existing code. Yeah. Some of it will not be able to, but most of it will. Okay, so let me show you the kind of insights we can get from this. Okay, good. Oh yeah, good one, because this has screwed up my demo before. Just want to make sure that's not there. Okay, good. Okay, so I'll start by creating a X event trace with this X event. This is a debug channel X event. So we would not necessarily recommend that you're running all the time in your system, but if you need to collect information about your execution plans during some time, then this is the right event to use there. So let me create this session here, and okay. Let me just clear this. I need to plate this because we don't use free proc cache anymore. Okay, so I'm going to run this specific query, very simple, in AdventureWorks. I'm actually forcing MaxDOP1 because we'll see that we'll have one entry of each event per thread. So if I'm running this with MaxDOP, a number that's greater than one, you'll see a lot of verbose into this. So I want to make it simple for demo purposes. Oh, and I forgot something that's relevant, which is get me the actual execution plan. So let me do this again. Okay. So let's go and check what's in the event session. So, okay, this is today's. Let's see what it opened. It's coming up, okay. Okay, so what we have here. We had a very simple plan. Let me actually go back to the graphical version just to quickly guide you through that. We have four nodes, okay, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can see the node information in the plan properties here. So this is node ID 6. This operator here is node ID 3, for example, and this one is node ID 2. So you can use these IDs to go back and forth between the graphical plan and your X events. So if I go back to my X event here, I see information per node ID, as you can see here, about all the I/O information and CPU-related information that I've seen before, right? And it is per thread. This case is thread 0 because I was running MaxDOP1. In this specific example, I would see 4 times, if I was running MaxDOP4, I would see 16 entries of this specific X event because it would be 1 per thread. Now, for example, let me look on node 6. This is node 2, node 6 would be this one. Okay. So this is node ID 6. I have information about database ID, the IO information, like I said. So if I'm collecting this, I can start to trace back, to put together how my original plan looks like in terms of performance. But I'm not seeing the plan, right? So one thing you can do is, if you also captured these two new XEvent properties, by the way, we used to have query hash and query plan hash, right? Has anyone used this before? Okay. Probably you wouldn't be able to very easily grab this query hash and then go and search in the plan cache, right? Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. We fixed it. So if you use these two, which have the suffix underscore signed, these now map to the ones that you're finding in the plan cache, okay? And obviously you have a plan handle. So for example, let me grab the plan handle here. And I'm looking at all these query stats, that's fine. These were captured at runtime, but those don't sit in the cache. So I need still to correlate the information I got from this XEvent session to the plan I have in the cache as I'm looking at it manually. So let me put the plan handle here, and I'm going to the plan cache. In this case, I'm still going to the CZMAXEC query stats. I want to see the statistic information about this specific execution. So I can see here the statement offset. I can see how many plans were generated. I can see the plan handle, when it was created, last executed, all of that. I can see the worker time. So it has to do with CPU usage. I can see IO. So these are new columns in these DMV. We have the logical reads. We have CLR time, elapsed time. That's all here. And what is that? So the number of rows. Last UP, and now we also have this information. We have information about memory grants. So it gets easier to go into the cache and or this DMV and do a lot of exploring whether, for example, in this case, this single execution, because I only have one here, so it's easy enough to see, it was granted 54 megabytes, and it used almost 40. So all in all, not a bad estimation, if you will. We'll see much worse cases. So it was a good enough use of memory. It's always good to have some buffer here, and it does in this case. So these are also new columns that we have in this specific DMV. Now, something you want to look at the plan itself, so going through the cache plans, we can pull up this, and right here in show plan, we can see the cache plan, right? Now, notice, let me go again to node ID 6, there is no information here about runtime statistics, right? Because this is a cache plan. I do, however, have information about trace flags, right? Because that's cached, but everything else that we've seen is not. So if I collected a somewhat long XEvent trace, I need to correlate this information, and this is how I can do it. And last but not least, you may want to use the query hash or the query plan hash, right? So again, that was kind of not easily done before. I know someone from Microsoft support created some CLR function that you could use to try to make sense of this. Again, it's not needed anymore. So let me go and grab the query plan hash signed. I'm copying this. And if I go back here, let me use the plan cache instead of the query hash. Okay. So if I do this, I am able to map to CZMAXEC query stats and get all the information I want. So I have several points of reference between these DMVs and my XEvent collections. Oops. Okay. So carrying on. Memory warnings. This one is actually available since SQL 2012. Hopefully not a lot of you have seen this. In this case, in case you cannot read this, it says the query had to wait 40 seconds for memory grant during execution. This is maybe bad in itself. But now I have information in show plan, which I didn't back then in 2012, about how much time it took to execute a query. This query took 42 seconds. But if I come up with this warning that it took 40 seconds just to get a memory grant, it means that it sit there for 40 seconds and it actually executed in two. So we need to put these data points into perspective when we're analyzing query performance. And this one is one of the ones that was there for a long time. But this does not cover a lot of problem space, if you will, with query memory grant inefficiencies. So we've added something new. This I just showed you during the demo. We added this new column. This is the mQuery stats about the memory grants. And they're also here in show plan. Yeah, so we can see in this case, if I'm perusing through this DMV to try to find some inefficiencies, I can see that this took almost 800 megs of memory when it started execution. So it actually needed that memory to be allocated for this specific execution when it started. But in the end, not even 1 kilobyte. Talk about inefficiencies, right? So going through these DMVs and trying to find this kind of patterns in your own workload is something you need, in my perspective, you could do and try to find these inefficiencies and later go and try to tune those queries to make them to make the used memory be more close to the total grant that you had. Now I was going to the warnings and this is the one of the ones we added. So a condition called excessive grant. When I have a lot of, like we've just seen in the DMV output, a lot of difference between the granted memory initially and then what I ended up using at the end. In this case, I started with almost 68 megabytes of grant, but in the end, it only used 1 megabyte. So not very good use. The condition, therefore, is excessive grant. We have two others, grant increase and use more than granted. These two would only fire in scenarios where you're using batch mode operators. So in case you're using column store. In this, we can see that it started with 2 megabytes and it ended up with 5 megabytes, which means that if most of your workload is starting with some specific set of memory and then it's grabbing more, if a lot of it is running like this, you can actually get into out of memory situations. So to be able to go back to that DMV, for example, or look in your actual plans and see if you get this kind of warning, is good to get that sort of insight so you can do something about it before it turns into a disaster. And one of the things you can do, if nothing else, if everything else fails, is to administratively limit the memory grant. So let's say I was looking at that previous example where I took 68 megabytes and it only used 1 megabyte. Let's say I went to CCM exec query stats and I saw that on average, that query was actually taking around 70 megabytes of grant memory every time. And every time it was using around 1 megabyte, right? So I can identify a pattern going to that DMV. So the next course of action is everything else fails is to use these hints, which can be used in the queries or in resource governor, and set the max grant percent I will allow that query to use. And we use a floating point value because you can set a very minute max memory grant, for example. If I have a 1 terabyte of memory server, if I would only allow an integer, 1% would already be 10 gigabytes. That's ginormous. So therefore, we allow floating point. And in this case, I would set the appropriate percentage to be just a little bit over one megabyte, which is the average I was observing. Okay, so detecting this at runtime, it ends up being easy enough. We also have X events to detect this kind of things. This is not the right one.
A question. Yes. So the grant is the percentage of the total available memory. But if this query needs 1 megabyte of memory, and you add 10 more terabytes of memory to that server, the sudden it's not going to need 2 megabytes.
Why do you say that?
So, but you said that the hint was specifying a percentage.
Yes.
Yeah. So if that's sort of.
Oh, if I had 10 terabyte, whatever memory, then that percentage becomes a higher value. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So that means that I would have to revisit the hint implementation. If I've done it through Resource Governor, then that's easy enough because I go to Resource Governor, to my resource pools where I've set that, and I've kind of do a very quick calculation, and I'll set a new percentage, yeah. Right? Actually, I'd cut off this demo due to time constraints, so I'll move along here. Sorry about that. I needed to cut off this one. I wanted to make sure I didn't go over time, so I cut a few things in order to show you the most juicy stuff. So more stuff about warnings has to do with sorts and spills specifically. If you see a spill, again, rule of thumb, that's not a good thing. That means that we ran out of memory, we went back to disk to use TempDB, and that's a big no-no in some sense. So what we have here is up to SQL Server 2016, this is the kind of warning we had. We had a spill, a sort spill in this case. We would go in and look, and it said, okay, so the operator used TempDB with spill level 1, and that's it. So you would have to go to the documentation, see what spill level 1 was, but it still didn't give you a lot of information here. And that's why you probably needed to go into and collect setStatistics.io to see what was going on in the work table. Well, not anymore. You can see here the amount of pages and memory that was used in this spill. So it gives you immediate information about how heavyweight a spill was or not in terms of using resources. Similarly, for hash warnings, you have all the same kind of information here. Another problem space is about detecting predicate search inefficiency. So are my predicates being used efficiently by the engine, and how can I detect that? So when I look at any operator, the actual number of rows is whatever is output after any predicate that I'm applying to that operator is finished. So it's not the actual number of rows that are scanned underneath by that operator. And that is a scenario that you really can't get a lot of context just by looking at the actual execution plan, or you didn't before. So for example, I'm looking at a scan that has a actual number of rows of 10. Why is it taking so much CPU? Why is it doing so much I/O? So I couldn't see that before. So let me give you a gist of what it means for SQL Server and to search without the ability to do predicate pushdown, meaning taking a predicate and pushing it down to the storage engine so that the storage engine filters out as it is reading instead of collecting everything and then filtering after the fact, which is much heavier to do. So here I have my sales order detail table, and I'm doing this query here, so a query I've used before. So it has two predicates, modified date and order quantity. I do have an index on this table on both columns here. So if I'm not doing predicate pushdown, this is what happens. I do a range scan, which is an index seek with a predicate there. I do a range scan, and the range scan output is this. So it's the dates, because this is the first column of my index. The output will be that predicate being applied. So these will be the actual rows of that index seek, which is the product ID related to those dates. But then I need to apply a filter operator to filter this result set into something smaller, which is where order quantity is bigger or equal than 10. And that gives me this in terms of actual rows. And only then do I get my final result set, right? So this will be your final result set here. I needed to do two operations here to get to my result set. Now, here's what happens by default in SQL Server, with even non-sargable predicates being pushed down to the storage engine. We have this table, the same table here, the same query. But now, by being able to push both predicates down to the storage engine, and mind you that order quantity in this case is not sargable. It's not sargable because in my index, part of the key, as part of the key, I have the modified date, and therefore I have a statistic that covers the date. But I've created the index with an include clause, and in the include clause, I've added there the order quantity. So therefore, it's called a non-sargable predicate. I cannot search on it. So therefore, but in this case, and in most cases actually, SQL Server is actually able to push down predicates even if they are non-sargable, which means that in this case, I've only read and scanned through what I needed for both my predicates, which means the actual rows are coming off directly from my range scan, which means that I've saved a filter, and the filter is sheer CPU being used. So if I can save off that CPU time, And the CPU is one of the issues I have with my server. That's already one strategy to deal with this sort of topics. So let me quickly show you what it means to be able to do this sort of operation here. The others, no. So I'm using AdventureWorks 2016. I did create, explode a couple of tables here. So you can use this to do the same. Is this in the, okay, let me create this index here. Okay. So one of the benefits of doing predicate pushdown versus other approaches is, let me just clear the cache here. By the way, this is what you would use now instead of the BCC free proc cache, just FYI. In this first case, it's the same query I used just now, okay? Although order quantity here is unequal, just to make it simple. But anyway, I have two predicates here. See that my index has modified date in the key, but order quantity is in the include clause. That means that it's not searchable, right? It's called a non-sorgable predicate here. So as I run this one, I'll also run the same query with this undocumented trace flag that you will not use in production ever, ever, ever in your life. This is disabling non-sorgable predicates from being pushed down. So it's actually removing a very good efficiency that the engine has. But just for the sake of showing you what it means to be able to do this every time or not, I'm using it for this purpose. So let me collect the actual plan here. Okay, so both queries are pretty quick. But here's what I get. So in the first one, I was able to, let me show you that. Okay, here, okay. In the first one, where I only have, as you see, the index seek operator, I actually had two predicates in the seek. I had, the first one is the modified date, okay, here. And I was able to, And I was able to, in one shot, was able to push down both predicates and use only the CPU and I/O needed to actually run this specific operator. So if you see here, for example, I still see that I needed to read 300,000 rows in order to retrieve 80,000 after the predicate was applied. So it's still not an efficient use of my predicate here, okay? But I was already able to save other sorts of resources. What are those? Let's actually compare these. So if I go to the root node here, let me pull up the properties. I can see by the query time stats that this one took 39 milliseconds of CPU, and overall it executed in 300 milliseconds. So that's not a lot, okay? But let's just compare them both. And this one, the overall query, took 77 milliseconds of CPU time, so 2.5 times more. And the execution time also went up a little bit. But the main difference is the CPU usage. So think of this in queries that use more CPU, where in your server you're using these queries a lot, and see how much CPU you're not saving if you are not able to use your predicates efficiently, which means that if you're not able to allow the engine to push down all the predicates. So if you see a filter, this would be the tip here, look in your index design, look at your predicates and see if you have any kind of inefficiency with the indexes themselves that precludes the engine from doing this pushdown predicate. But there is actually a better use of my index. So I've seen this. I've seen that while I'm still not using the filter, I was able to push down the non-sorgable predicate. I'm still reading too many rows for my output, right? So again, this is not a good index for my query. Let me try to make it a little bit different. In this case, I'm moving my order quantity, which is the non-sorgable predicate, into my index key, And in this case, a good exercise would be look at how unique each of those columns is, and put the most selective, meaning the one that has most unique values, in first in your as to build your histogram there. In this case, I've done that exercise. I've actually seen that order quantity is more selective than the modified date, so I've chosen to put it in first place in my index here. So let me drop the previous index. Yeah, it's already done. And create this new one. I'm going to clear the cache again. And now let's run the same query here. And now I still have the same overall plan, as you can see. Let me put it bigger. Same plan, right? I have an index seek, and I know it's doing a range scan. But now, look at the number of rows, red, and the actual number of rows. They are the same, which means that now I was able to read less and read exactly what I needed for my output. Okay, so this is something you can look at by looking at the plan, even the cached plans, because you also have the information down here about the estimated number of rows and the estimated number of rows to be read. So even in the cache, you can look for this information and get some glimpse there of whether your plan after optimization is already pointing to a good enough use of your underlying index design as what relates to the number of rows it's thinking it will output. Any questions here? Okay. So let's move on. Who here is a DBA, a production DBA? Okay. How many times were you called and said, my application is slow? So everyone's pointing at you, right? They want you to fix the stuff. They want you to get your magic script, whatever, out of your pocket and just magically fix everything because you've broken it, right? So usually maybe you'll pull up data collection tools, whatever are your favorites, PSSIX events, profiler, your own script that you're pulling from some data sources. But the point is, they're collecting the data for you to, after the fact, go somewhere else and analyze it, right? And try to come up with a solution. And if you do, so you take the data, you go and repro, you analyze, maybe you come up with a few hypotheses, you deploy the mitigation, and while that is happening, someone is pointing the finger at you saying, you're not being fast enough, you're not being efficient enough. So how can you try to shortcut this type of scenario here? It would be great to have insight into the running executions, do some live query troubleshooting. You see where this is going, live query stats, right? But it has a few inefficiencies in the sense that to have it enabled, we need to enable this infrastructure, which is a mouthful, query execution statistics profile infrastructure, and that's enabled on demand, but it has a cost overhead, meaning that's probably why you're not running it all the time. And then you revert back to collecting data and doing post-collection analysis. So to have the ability to have those in-flight query statistics, you can enable it with a few options. And this is still the normal infrastructure. You can click the button Live Query Statistics, you can set Statistics XML or profile on, and it gets enabled for that session that you are running. Or if you want to enable it everywhere so that you can tap into any running session and see what's going on there, you can, if you're running a trace, an X event trace with a query post execution show plan extended event, which is heavyweight as we discussed yesterday, then you can't really do that all the time because it has a huge toll on the server. But if you do, well, this would be enabled for every session. But it has a high overhead, like 75% as we measured in TPCC-like workloads. So unleashing lightweight profiling, which is something we've done in 2016 SP1, or we've made it better in 2016 SP1. Let's say you are the production DBA that gets called and say, my application is slow. Everyone's pointing at you, but now you tap into production and you see the queries that are executing in any session whatsoever. And you're able to see, you're able to identify where the hotspot in the running execution is. And instead of collecting the data and analyzing the plans on the side, you do that in your production server as the stuff is running. So you find the hotspot and you deploy mitigation based on production analysis here. So the lightweight profiling, it will dramatically reduce that performance overhead of continuously running that infrastructure I mentioned. So allowing you to, at any point in time, go into your running executions and see what every session is doing. And it can be enabled with TraceFlag 7412, which is, if you remember, one of the TraceFlags that was listed in my show plan when I was listing the TraceFlags. I'm running this all the time in any of my servers. This is running all the time in Azure SQLDB, for example, because we collect data every now and again about performance, sheer performance, so that you can do some tuning exercises and alert you. So it can still be enabled by the query thread profile extended event, the one that I was running before. It also enables this lightweight profiling, and you can do it when you're running lightweight profiling, CSDM exec query profiles, which is the basis on which the SSMS feature live query stats works on. It also gets populated using lightweight profiling. We also enabled a new DMF, CSDM exec query statistics XML, which is basically live query stats at the engine level. So you can programmatically tap into running executions at the engine level instead of needing to go to CSDM exec query profiles. So, by the way, if you use these two, those will still default back to the regular profiling that has all that overhead. So what's the overhead on this? It's about 1.5 to 2%, again, with TPCC-like workload. So most workloads will be able to withstand 1.5 to 2% overhead for the ability of, at any point in time, going into a production server and seeing what's going on and do some troubleshooting there. So let me show you very quickly what we can do with this. So I'll be running some workload here. Let me kick off this one. It's mainly CPU, yes, exactly. That's a good question. So the question was, what is the overhead here? In terms of what, CPU, IO, or another resource? It's essentially CPU, yes. Thank you for that.
That traceline, does it have to be a startup parameter, or can you enable that globally?
You can enable globally, but any session that was already open before it got enabled, then you can tap into it. Okay. So the recommendation would be as a startup traceflag. Okay, so let's go here. I've already started my workload. And so I'm the DBA. I just got to call my database server is slow. What can I do? Well, one of the things I may do is, by the way, I'm already using the next release that will be in a couple of weeks, will be release of SSMS. And one of the things we've put in now as a default is this. So the performance dashboard is no longer a standalone. Who here used the performance dashboards before? Okay. You needed to deploy them, a new schema into master, and then get them as custom reports, right? So, and then not every one of your servers had that schema installed, therefore you could not use it everywhere, no more. So in an upcoming release of SSMS, this will be right there. You can pull up the performance dashboard report, and you'll see information about whatever is happening in your system. I'm able to see my CPU, if there are any weights. This is a snapshot, by the way. So if there are any weights, I can see them here. I can go into user requests and see what's going on there. And I'm able to do some snapshots and collect some data that I may want to.
Sorry?
Yes?
Is it cumulated from instance startup?
I'm sorry?
Is it cumulated from instance startup?
It's not related to the lightweight statistics, lightweight profiling. Oh, okay. Good question. So what we're seeing right here in this one, for example, is the output from CSDM exec requests. So this is all going to DMVs, okay? This one that I'm seeing here is CPU as it's captured by the resource monitor task ring buffer. There's another ring buffer that collects this. But this is coming from a ring buffer, okay? So this is all data that's already sitting in the engine. We're just exposing it here. But this is just to show you what's coming in, because I wanted to really let you know that this is coming in the next version of SSMS. What I can use to do some troubleshooting here is, and I confess I never used this before up until the moment we had lightweight profiling, I can right-click on a server and I can pull up Activity Monitor. Who here has used Activity Monitor before? Okay, quite a few, good. What you may have not noticed, or maybe you have, is that you can open up the Active Expensive queries, and I can, for example, right-click any of my queries, and now I can click on Show Live Execution Plan. And with that, well, this is not a good example. I wanted to see something else. Let me try this one. Okay. So if I open this one, it has a few interesting numbers here, right? If I look overall, it's estimating 4,598,000,000,000,000, and I can't even read the rest. So probably I don't have that many rows in my table. Thank you. I think you are right. I wouldn't say it's a high priority, but we'll get there. I agree with you. I had to count the digits and see that I was at 4 quintillion. So yeah, point taken. Anyway, I'm tapping into my production query. I'm seeing what's running here. I can see that, well, from the get-go, I have ginormous estimations, and those I don't even have those in my table, right? So I don't even have to look anymore in this case. I know that there's something wrong with this plan. What may be the case? So if I'm in my root node, by the way, I can look at all the properties here. But one thing I can do is let me look at the query itself. That's probably one of the first things you'll do, right? So if you haven't noticed before, again, this is kind of those Easter eggs that we released some time ago. Every time you open a query, you have this little button here, which previously you would have to go here and try to copy this, and this is like a big mess. You just click here and you open it on the side and it's well formatted, okay? So now I'm looking at my query as I would be running it in my production database. And okay, so I don't like my developer that much. He's kind of using functions as a search predicate, and that's a no-no in my book, besides having a lot of joins here. Anyway, this certainly has room to improve. Something else I notice is I'm running with this trace flag, 9481, which again is doing what? All C, right? So yeah, probably my developers had some issues with new CE before and they chose to do this. I don't have that much faith in it. So let me do this. I'll run this query, which by the way, yeah, it's still running somewhere down here. See, it's building this lazy spool here and it still has a long way to go. So it's been running here for a couple minutes now, but I wanna run this query without the trace flag. So let me include the actual execution plan and okay, so it's actually done. 1 second. This was a very simple case, but allows us with lightweight profiling to tap into running executions and see what's happening. And in some cases, you'll gain immediate insight and you'll have an exit strategy immediately without needing to collect data and on the side, do something about that. Is this something you're going to use now when you move to 2016? Actually, you don't necessarily need to go to 2016 because we've also enabled this, although it's not so much lightweight, but it's still good enough in 2014 SP2 and 2016 RTM, okay? So just to make sure that you know that's available there as well. Okay, so gaining query performance insights with SSMS overall, that's something else we've been working on. For example, we have support for multi-statement show plan comparison. Brent yesterday was showing show plan comparison and he was kind of moving between comparison pairs and he was having some issues there, point taken. I'll show you how I can actually use it without having that difficulty there. We can see the per operator level performance stats in show plan now in SSMS instead of having to go to show plan like we had before. We've added filters in query store reports so that you can, for example, hey, let me just see the queries that have more than two plans collected. So I'm able to filter down in that way. And new in SSMS v17 are two new reports in Query Store. One for you to check which plans have I forced before. That wasn't there before. So you needed to go through some querying and whatnot. It was not readily available. So if you've used Query Store before to force plans, now you can go back and revisit them. Maybe because you've applied a patch, a CU update that fixes something that led you to force a plan before, and you want to unforce it now. So it can easily get to that. And we've also added this feature here that I'm going to show you. Query analysis scenarios, the ability to open up a query. And in this case, we've only enabled one scenario, which is CE differences. But you'll get some tips on what you need to look at to improve your query. So SSMS experience is now quite diverse. We have the query story UI. We can use it in tandem with plan comparison or standalone. We have SSMS plan analysis that I'm going to show you. And we will have, in a couple of weeks, or when we release the June update for SSMS, performance dashboards built in to SSMS. So you can know schema deployment. You point to any server, 2008, 2012, 2014, and you just have it there. Okay? So it's not, none of these features are specific, apart from query store, obviously. None of them are specific to 2016. Okay, yeah, and this is coming soon. Okay, so let me quickly show you how you can leverage all this. And this is the last demo, and I'm still doing good enough. See, I said I would try. Okay, so let me quickly run what? I'll actually do this. So. Close this, too much confusion here. Okay. So I'm going to use here a store procedure. It's doing a very simple query, joining a couple tables, the two tables, the ginormous tables that I've created before. And this time I'm using a very simple predicate, the order date, and I'm going to create this as a new store procedure. Mind you that now we have creator alter. So I don't need to have that syntax about if exists, drop, and now if not exists, create. Simple as creator alter procedure there. Let me clear the proc cache, and I'll run these two. I'll collect the actual execution plan. I'll collect this one, let it run. Okay, so executed fast enough. What I have here is a plan that looks good enough. Let me run the other one. Oh, did I collect the, oh no, it's still running. Okay. So yeah, I may have a problem here. Let it run, we'll look at both plans. In the meantime, actually let it finish. So while this runs, let me do something else. I'm going to quickly populate query store on another database while that one is running there. Okay, this is running. Maybe the other one is done. No, it's still executing. Okay. And I can finish this one. Okay. So while this one is still running, apparently it's a very slow query now. It was fast in the first execution, now it's not. We'll deal with that. Let's go to query store on that other workload that's running on another database. This is what you'd see in a production server, right? And I'll, for example, use the top resource consuming queries report. So I'm coming here, and by the way, in the you can set a number of visual aids here. You can configure this to, for example, show you only queries that have in the minimum two plans, for example, or three, whatever you want to set. In this case, I can see this query is one of the heaviest consumers, and it actually has two different plans here, right? So if this had been a timeline that was much bigger, I could see that, for example, query plan number one would be consistently lower in this case, I'm looking at execution time versus the other one. I could do this. I could click on this one, force the plan, and that's it. I've addressed this planned regression scenario right here. But if I want to understand more about what's going on between these two plans, I can do shift and click on whatever is the second plan, and I can click on this button here, compare the plans for the selected query in a separate window, and I pull up plan comparison UI Not in the way that, for example, Brent used yesterday, which was he was looking at one actual plan, and then he had saved another one, he pulled it in, and he compared, but now I'm doing this in the scope of Query Store. So I can also integrate that experience here. And what I have highlighted by default are not the differences, are actually the similarities. Because what we tend to start with is looking at the overall plan shape and seeing where the same operators, or the same operations, not operators, are maybe in different parts of the plan. That immediately tells me that the plan was optimized differently, right? So you need to be aware of that. So I could gain some insights from here, but before that, I had already fixed it administratively by forcing the plan, right? Now let's go back to the, so this is integrating a couple of experiences here. In this other case, my second execution is done. The execution plan is the same, but look here, let me look here. I have a huge difference between the number of rows read, if you see near the top, it's 1.5 million, versus the actual rows, 400,000, okay? I had previously saved each of these plans because I want to go and compare them, right? Or actually, first, let me try to see why this one is so slow. So I can save this plan, right? And open it again in SSMS. We will try to enable a plan analysis directly from the plan here, but it's not, we're not there yet. So let me open the slow plan. Too much stuff here. Yeah. So I'm opening the slow plan where I see all those estimation differences. Sorry, here, right? So I can right-click anywhere in the blank space of the plan and choose analyze the actual execution plan. It needs to be an actual execution plan, by the way. So what I get from that is this this panel here opens, and it has two things I want to call out to. One is a multi-statement. This is also available in the query comparison. So I'll take just one more minute and I'm done. And if you have multiple queries, like you had yesterday in Brent's demo, you need to click on the specific query pair that you want to compare, and that it opens up in the context of that comparison, okay? In this case, I want to move here to scenarios. And it's telling me that I have a number of issues that I detected with CE, with cardinality estimation. The top one, and this is sorted by percent difference, the top one shows me that I had a 14,000% difference between the estimated rows and the actual rows coming out of this operator. And, okay, I have the context of that. Let me move there. Once I move there, it tells me, okay, the first thing you should know is that the predicate for this operator depends on parameters start order date. The compile time value was unknown or different from the runtime value. So the estimate may not be accurate. Okay, thank you for that. Another reason may be stale statistics, for example. Okay, so let me get some insight into this. I go into my select node. I look at the properties of the select node. Let me pull them up here. And I look at my parameter list, and I can see that, yeah, right. So compile value was this, and runtime value was that one. So I can do several things. I now I'm looking at a case where parameter sniffing is hurting me, right? So I can do several things now. I can use option recompile. I can do option for optimize for unknown. I can use a local variable. I can even use this new use hint to disable parameter sniffing and finish and address my problem here, my problem space. So that's it. If you want to move to SQL Server 2016 on Azure, we have a ton of tools that you can use, even to validate your workload. So feel free to ping me if you want more information about all this. And some bookmarks that I leave you with. And that's it. Thank you very much.